Well, if the sort of worship we see in YouTube videos is anything to go by, we are wildly out of step with so much of what goes on in the modern church. Perhaps some of the biggest and most, I'll use the word successful, at least in the world's eyes, most numerous in terms of the congregational strength, they seem to have gone through something of a transition where it used to be that the services were more like a country and western concert with vocals and with acoustic guitars, and now we've moved on to the stage where the preacher has to wear a leather jacket. I can't get one to fit me, so don't even think about it. And as for the worship, there are no pews. Why not? Because all the people are jumping up and down, and it has far more in common with a heavy rock concert. Those of you that are old enough to know what a heavy rock concert is, that is, would leap me up and down. I don't think either the more sedate country western style or the heavy metal rock concert are good venues for sober reflection. And yet this morning, as we come together to examine what God's word has to say, there's no avoiding that sober reflection as we consider the response that Felix makes. We have in recent weeks given time to consideration of God's word as Paul has been brought up on trial, Ananias coming down from Jerusalem, bringing some hotshot lawyer with him to make his case against Paul, with much clarity and with much cleverness. And yet, although Paul is not set before us as an astute lawyer, I think his response ultimately is the more telling. So the case for the prosecution has been made, the case for the defense has been made, and now it belongs to Felix as the governor to give a verdict. And so what we're expecting, what we're tuned in to think of, if we had not read this passage ever before, what we'd be expecting now is that Felix would give his judgment on the matter. And that's where the comparison with the wise and foolish virgin comes in. Consider those 10 virgins. They had much the same opportunity, much the same resources. And of course, we're meant to take note of that and understand that there is little to choose between the wise and foolish virgins in terms of their circumstances. But then comes the hour in which the bridegroom approaches, and they rouse themselves, and as you heard from the Gospel of Christ by Matthew, the wise virgins trimmed their lamps and were ready, prepared, so that when the bridegroom came, they went in with him. However, the foolish virgins, although they had had much the same opportunity, indeed identical, that's the point of the parable, yet they were not prepared, so that when the bridegroom comes, they are not where they should have been and find themselves left outside. It's a sobering thought to be left outside when the bridegroom comes. Well, of course, we know who the bridegroom is depicting for us in the parable. It's Jesus himself. And then we hear those chilling words, "I do not know you. Watch, therefore." It's tragic. You'd even say it's heartbreaking. Now take a look at Felix. There's procrastination, putting off things to a later date. Instead of dealing with something when it's before you, say, "Oh, I'll deal with that later. When Lysias comes down, I will decide your course, your case." Why? Was Felix lacking authority? Was he waiting for Lysias to come down and give him the authority to proceed? Well, no, because Felix was the governor and Lysias was under his command. It wasn't that Felix lacked the authority to do it. Indeed, his very statement says, "I will decide." He's very sure that he has that authority to do it. Further information? What further information could be provided? A witness, perhaps? No, not really. It's a ploy to avoid making a decision. Luke tells us why in more detail later, but we'll come to that. In a sense, really, the reason for him putting things off doesn't matter. And you and I can add our own list of reasons for putting things off to a later date. The things that we don't really want to do. Perhaps it's just the busyness of life. We've got better things to do, more important things. We've got other commitments which take priority. Now, we always want to dress it up with some fine words that really I have such an important thing to do that I can't make any decision on this matter right here, right now. But so often it does really just boil down to I can't be bothered. You find yourselves putting things off that you don't really want to do, not because you don't have the time to do it, though you'll make that excuse, perhaps even to yourself, to your friends, to other members of the family, although I'll do it some other time, because I don't really want to do it now. Other things seem to be far more important, far more interesting. I remember well when I was studying English literature at university that all the prescribed books that I was supposed to read, I didn't want to. Why? Because I was being told to read them. And now I wish I had spent more time reading when I was given the time to do it. I preferred reading the yellow pages from Tel Aviv over the books that were prescribed for me. Well, such is the perverseness of man. Well, of this man, anyway. Inconvenient, just too tired. You get home from work and you're had a hard day at work. You think to yourself, no, that repair of the kitchen sink, the leaky tap, whatever it might be, that can wait to the weekend, when strangely enough you find yourself too busy doing other things that's still not fixed. And I see a number of the ladies smiling at this because they're perhaps married to men like that. It wasn't Louise this time, but it should have been. Does it sound familiar? Well, fixing a leaky tap is ultimately not so important. But when eternity is at stake, not having your lamp trimmed could have eternal consequences. Felix is putting it off. He's, and I don't use the word lightly, he's delusional. Is that a bit strong? No. He thinks he's in charge. He thinks that he can put it off to another day, and perhaps he'll listen to Paul on some other occasion for whatever reason, and he has all the time at his disposal to hear whatever Paul has to say, bearing in mind that he already has a somewhat accurate knowledge of the way. He knew the gospel. That's not in question. But he put it off. Because he thought he was in charge. I will make the decision when I am good and ready to make it. Boys and girls, let me ask you a question. And it may seem to you a somewhat strange question, and perhaps it is a strange question, but what do you think Felix is thinking right now? What do you suppose that Felix is thinking right now? I'm going to give you my suggestion. Felix is thinking right now, I wish I had listened to Paul. I wish I had listened. Second, his second response is an intellectual game. He has sent for Paul and heard him speak. Why? Perhaps out of a measure of curiosity. He already had something of a knowledge of the way. He was wanting to hear Paul a bit further, perhaps to debate with him, to ask him perhaps questions that he thought would be too difficult. Sort of the aha, gotcha now kind of question that Paul could not respond to. Happy enough to talk philosophically about the way. But notice that when Paul starts to speak of the coming judgment, Felix was alarmed. The word there, emphobos, he was put in fear. Grew alarmed. When Paul started to unfold before him, and note, this is not three steps to Jesus, ask him into your heart and sign the commitment card and go away now because now you are a Christian, because I've just said that you are. But when Paul was unfolding the biblical message, he spoke at length and he spoke about a number of aspects of it. He reasoned about righteousness. He preached the law. About self-control and the coming judgment. In other words, these were not just philosophies to help you make it through the world and have your best life now. No. There is a coming judgment, and one day you, Felix, will have to stand before the just judge of all the universe. And when that message was boldly proclaimed to Felix, he was put in fear. That's enough, says Felix. We'll meet again some other time. It's fine to have my mind exercised by things that I would like to hear you talk about and offer you some alternative explanations or hard questions that you haven't thought about. But when you touch the heart, stop. Stop right there. Take this man away. Too close to home. But then there's a third aspect, isn't there, as we deal with Felix. We see that he is in pursuit of personal gain. We see this coming out in a couple of ways. First of all, it comes out that he rather hoped for a bribe. It hits on his motivation. Born a slave, now a governor of a Roman province. Clearly, he wasn't stupid. Tacitus declares him to be one who had the power of a king, but the heart of a slave. For Felix, holding high office was a means for getting rich. When I was a young man, the prime minister, who came from humble origins, nothing wrong with that, but by the time he left office as prime minister, he had a wonderful yacht, which he used to sail whenever he got the opportunity. He thinks, how do you get this fantastic yacht on a prime minister's salary? Well, I'm not wanting to point the finger at any particular politician that you might know, but the same question may have occurred to you at times. How does this person who has always been a politician have such a wonderful lifestyle? How did he get that on his salary? I'll leave it there. Well, with Felix, it's very obvious. He hoped for a bribe. And so kept on calling for Paul to give him an opportunity. You know, Felix, I'd really like to get out of here. Perhaps there is the retired governor's fund I'd love to make a donation to if I could, but tell me how much. The conversations continued. Paul spoke to Felix. Felix is hoping for a bribe. That was his motivation. And obviously Luke was aware of that, and Paul would have been aware of that as well. I wonder if Paul is thinking to himself, let him summon me as often as he likes. And every time he summons him, I will present the gospel to him. You're actually not encouraging me to give a bribe, because I'm taking the opportunities that you are giving to proclaim Christ Jesus. So Felix sends for him often. Paul's friends no doubt would have been encouraged to, well, why don't you give a bag of gold to Felix and you'll have your friend released. But there's a second way in which Felix demonstrates his desire for personal gain. 2 years Paul spends in prison. And he's not done yet. Felix left Paul. That's how the chapter ends. He's replaced by somebody else. The scriptures don't give us the details, but the history books do, that his brother, who was a close advisor to the emperor, fell from grace. And when his brother fell from grace, so did Felix. And so Felix was recalled to the capital. I wonder if he was en phobos then, when he was before the emperor. Felix left Paul in prison. Why? Because he desired to do the Jews a favor. Justice, fairness, integrity. These are just some of the virtues that Felix lacked. How short-sighted. Short-term gain. Hope for a bribe, which was never realized, but a long-term disaster, a lost eternity. The enemy dangles the carrot in front of unbelievers as they make their way to the cliff. And they're still looking at the carrot, even as they take that last fatal step over the cliff and drop into a lost eternity. They don't even get the carrot. So that's Felix for us. Contrast that with Paul, with his faith in Christ. He reasoned about righteousness. That doesn't mean to say that he was, as a Pharisee, declaring to Felix, "This is how I arrived at righteousness." No, the gospel of the Lord Jesus is very clear to Paul and is made clear to us through his epistles so often. You just have to read the opening verses of chapter 2 of Ephesians, where you see Paul setting out the darkness that is in a man's soul. And he doesn't hesitate to say that, well, that's what we are like outside of Christ. He paints the very blackest picture until the light of the gospel shines, but God who is rich in mercy, out of the great love with which he has loved us. There's our hope. So when Paul is unfolding righteousness, he's not claiming any righteousness for himself. He's saying, the only righteousness that I have is the righteousness that I have in Christ Jesus. Felix, trim your lamp while you're still waiting for the return of Christ. Exercise self-control. Not something that Felix was noted for. Why? Because one day Christ will come again. Either you will draw your last breath in this world, or Christ will return for the resurrection both of the just and of the unjust. And Felix, where will you be when that happens? Will you be numbered amongst the wise virgins who were ready for the Lord's return? Or will you be numbered amongst the foolish? Well, so far as Scripture records, ultimately he was numbered amongst the foolish virgins. So though Paul had proclaimed to him the righteousness that is in Christ Jesus, why we need a Savior, Felix had not responded. Then he is removed. And no doubt in his mind he had more important things to consider with being recalled to Rome than a Jewish prisoner that he had held captive for a couple of years. One day we will all need to have dealings with God, either as your Father in heaven or as your judge. And there'll be no putting off that judgment, no saying, "I'll decide later," and create some artificial reason for when that will be. So what was the verdict of Felix? He never gave one. He left Paul in prison. And then he's removed. His last day in office came eventually. Our last day upon this earth will come eventually, if the Lord should tarry. And then we will stand either before our Father in heaven or before our judge. And it's the same person. But do you want to see God as your Father or as your judge? So here's the question. Sober question. Will you be ready? Let's pray. Our gracious God and Heavenly Father, we do thank Thee for the parables of Jesus and the sober thoughts that it sets before us. A parable of the wise and the foolish virgins. We thank Thee, Father, that Thou dost set before us in Felix someone who provides us with an illustration. Putting things off because it wasn't convenient or because he had some other motivation, although his mind may have been stretched at least somewhat out of curiosity, hoping for personal gain, whether a bribe or to do the Jews a favor. Whatever was his motive, whether it was a singular motive or a combination of all the things that we see in the response of Felix, ultimately, so far as Scripture reveals it to us, he was one who did not receive Christ, though he had every opportunity to do so. To sit under the ministry of Paul in person for 2 years as often as he desired. And Paul declaring righteousness and its nature, declaring self-control, how we should live for Christ. How there is a coming judgment. And that though Paul may be in the power of Felix, that there is a greater power before whom Felix himself would one day stand. Father, we pray that all who are here present may be ready. And if there are those who are present who have been putting it off and putting it off and putting it off, who in the arrogance of their own mind think that they have some important question that perhaps not even the Apostle Paul could answer, or because they have hope for personal gain, whatever form that might take. We pray, Father, that not one person may leave this building except that they are able to say that when they draw their breath, last breath in this world, they will meet with their Father in heaven and with the one who has saved them, even Jesus Christ. That just as Felix may even at this hour be thinking, I wish I had listened to Paul, may there not be one amongst us who in eternity will be thinking, I wish I had listened to the pastor when he urged me to come to Christ. Hear us, we pray, in Jesus' name and for his sake. Amen.